The following is from the Main Street Radio Show on Prairie Public.
This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Ashley Thornburg, and once a week, Chef Tim Rosendahl, we call him Chef Rosie, joins us to talk about food. And this week, you want to talk about something real sweet, honey.
It's honey, you know, and I think everybody has loved honey sometime in their life. I've never come across somebody that says, oh, I don't really care for honey. You know, there's a lot of people that are, we're all trying to eliminate some sugar in our life because we know of all the ill effects of sugar, but replacing sugar with honey is a good thing to do. And there's so many different varieties of honey when you travel the country, whether it's the orange blossom honey of Florida or the clover honey from the Midwest. They all have unique different flavors. And let me just warn you now that there are many honeys in the grocery store that have a lot of other added things that you don't want, like simple syrup, like corn syrup, like things like that. So all honey is not created equal honey.
Well, this is going to sound silly. Like, I know it comes from bees, but how? Like, where does honey come from? The bees are making it, right?
Well, it's the bees harvest the honey from the sweet secretions from plants. That's the nectar. And something I've learned in this studying this topic is that bees have a separate stomach. It's called their honey stomach, and that's just made for harvesting the nectar to bring back to the hive. Bees have to have flowering plants or trees or in their area. They can't, without the nectar, that's what they need to survive, and that's what their life is all about.
Okay, and that's what can flavor the different honeys, like if you're going to get a clover honey around here or if you go to somewhere else where there's a different type of flowering plant that's very abundant, that's what's flavoring this?
Yes, and you know, I've never been to a honey tasting, but boy, would that be fun to taste something from the cactus of Arizona, honey, that honey versus the North Dakota, the Florida, the different types. That would be a wonderful tasting to experience because All of a sudden in the cabinet, you don't just offer your guests, would you like honey with your toast? Oh, would you like orange blossom honey? Would you like raspberry honey? Would you like peach honey, peach blossom honey? Would you like? And then the other thing is that I really learned is that when we think of honey in this country, or at least as a chef that I've been for many years, we almost always think of honey in the sweet version, in the sweet preparation, in desserts and salad dressings. But it's almost, it is a sweet nectar, of course, but we don't think of it as much in savory preparations as they do in the Mideast and Asia and Europe. So we're definitely not in the same level of usage as them.
Yeah, I think of it sometimes maybe as like a glaze on a meat. But yeah, you're right. I would get that maybe in an Asian restaurant or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we think nothing of ordering our honey glazed pork and our honey glazed chicken, but we never get those in American restaurants. That's not where they come from.
Well, maybe you should start that trend in the U.S.
That's a good idea. The other really unique thing I think of in discovering honey in the last few days is the fact that honey lasts forever.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not just talking about, keep it in the refrigerator, keep it airtight, keep it. No, as long as you keep moisture out of honey, in other words, put it in Tupperware or put it in a plastic bucket, whatever it is, the life expectancy is not in days or weeks or months or years. It's in thousands of years. Wow. What other food source has anywhere near that? Of course, the thing that when you add moisture to honey, then you will also make the honey ferment. And when it ferments, we have something that we have come to like here in the Midwest, and that's mead wine, and that's a fermented honey. And the bees, this is the most amazing part of this whole story, or one of the amazing things, is when the worker bees bring the nectar back to the hives, it's about 20% moisture, water content. And listen to this close. They will, before they seal each honeycomb up with wax, because that's how they naturally produce it, the worker bees will flutter over the top of that individual comb, and the flapping of their little wings will dehydrate the honey down to another 1 or 2 or 3% that makes it last forever. Because if you didn't, it wouldn't last forever. How do they know?
That is incredible.
They don't have a hydrometer. They don't have a way to check that, but they just know. And that is amazing. And they do. In the winter, bees can live on their own honey. So they're really self-sustaining.
Okay.
You know, you can have all the hives and colonies you want and harvest honey by the gallon. Take it out of there all the time. But as long as you leave enough for them to make it through the winter. I mean, you can buy bee food too. Mm-hmm. But if you leave honey in their colonies, they will live off that. And come spring, they'll start the whole process again.
Where is most of the honey that we're eating coming from?
Well, most of the honey we have in this country comes from this country. But when in world production, China is number one, and they're actually over six times what the United States produces. And then Turkey's number two, and then the United States is number three. Russia is number four. But we don't – you don't see much. In fact, I won't say you won't see much. I have never in my life seen imported honey. And that's not to say that you can't go to the international grocery store and maybe I've just missed it. But we produce enough and enough varieties from enough different parts of the good old USA that it's not a imported product. Most of it you see is for the country that it's produced in.
Well, I feel like a lot of times, too, you see it from at least mostly nearby.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, too. I mean, there's a lot of local, you know, hobby farmers, if you will, hobby beekeepers that produce honey, their own honey, and, you know, bring it for the church or for the yard sale or produce, because you don't need a lot of bees to produce enough honey for your family, that's for sure. And when we think of honey, you know, we have to talk about the downside, because let's not forget those bees that produce do bite. And the thing that I'm starting to understand most about them is, yes, if you're a beekeeper, will you get bit? Oh, absolutely. So if you're a person that has an extreme allergy to bees, beekeeping shouldn't be your second hobby.
It's not your hobby.
You know, the anaphylactic shock needle, you wouldn't want to have to keep that on hand every time you went out to harvest honey. But you can harvest honey every day.
Yeah.
Once in the summer when the flowers are in bloom and you have thousands of bees, and I mean thousands in a colony.
Yeah, do you need a lot of bees in order to even just produce, you know, your own home consumption amount?
Well, I'm shooting from the hip here, but I'm going to have 24 hives in 8 colonies. That's 8 queens, and then a few thousand drones to fertilize those queens, and then tens of thousands of worker bees. And this is another really interesting statistic, is that bees can travel more than the distance around the world in their lifetime gathering nectar.
What?
Yeah. So they're not just looking for – I mean, they're telling – I'm reading that I have to plant the right flowers or have the right garden in my farm and my field and in my – and in or all around the property of bees, but they will travel a long, long ways. Long ways.
I guess that's why we say, you know, busy worker bees.
Yeah, to be a worker bee, I mean, that's their life, is to bring back that honey sack filled with nectar.
I bet it's nice to be the queen bee.
You know, that's an interesting thought. What is the queen? The queen just hangs around.
Well, we will let you think about that. What is the life of a queen bee? In the meantime, if you have a question for Chef Rosie, send it to mainstreet@prairiepublic.org or find us on Facebook. We are Main Street at Prairie Public.
Main Street airs at 3 and 7 Central weekdays on Prairie Public.